Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast. And we continue today with the urgent prophecies of the last days, as they have come to us through the intercession of the Mother of God. These latter days in which we are living have rightly been called the Age of Mary, because this mission to save the world from the oncoming fury of God's justice has been given over now to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is our public defender before the throne of God, who constantly pleads our cause before the Eternal Father, that mankind be given a little more time to amend his course and settle his estates with his Maker. Our Lady has come forth in these latter days to let the world's peoples know that God the Father is now poised to strike the nations, and unless the people of the world listen to what she is saying today, she will no longer be able to hold back the chastising hand of God. We are referring, of course, to the prophetic revelations that have come our way through the late visionary Veronica of the Cross. She was heaven's messenger to the world in these latter days. During the years 1970 through 1995, the Blessed Virgin and her son would appear to Veronica and would impart to her many insights and prophecies concerning this coming chastisement. As Our Lady says, out in the heavens lies an immense ball of fire which is headed our way. Though it has the massiveness of a star or a sun, it behaves more like a comet. It's got a tail behind it. It's not what you would call an ordinary star or celestial object, because this star is supernatural and has been sent directly from Almighty God. But even so, it is on an established course and can be picked up on our telescopes. On June 18, 1991, Our Lady made reference to the fact that this celestial fireball was being observed by scientists. She said, "It has been noticed by few, but the few seek not to bring fear to the hearts of mankind." Unquote. As she says, even the scientists have failed to recognize the speed of this ball. And that's Our Lady speaking, 6/18/88. Now, Our Lady has said that the approach of the comet will bring about climatic changes and all manner of seismic and volcanic activity. And the reason for this is because as this thing gets closer, it's going to exert more and more of its pull upon the earth. Gravitational pull, that is. This coincides with Christ's prophecy in the Gospel concerning the last days, where he says, "There shall be pestilences and famines and earthquakes in places. Now all these are the beginnings of sorrows." That's Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8. You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designated to bring to you the urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world. To receive more on this, we invite you to write to us. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or call toll-free 1-800-345-MARY. We include with your information packet a rose petal that has been blessed by Jesus that has the power of cure and conversion. We also include our Heaven Speaks Today on the attack on America, and upon request, we can also send you our issue number 1 of Heaven Speaks, which is on the coming great earthquake to the east and west coasts of the United States. We have with us today a guest and a friend of Our Lady, Marilyn Blanche from Pomona, California. Good to have you with us, Marilyn.
Thank you, David.
And Marilyn, when did you first come in contact with the message of Our Lady of the Roses?
It was an ad in the paper in 1982, and I wrote for the messages.
And what was your response to the message when you read this?
I was intrigued and very surprised that Our Lady was trying to contact the children of the earth to give us a message to try to help us get to heaven. I prayed about this because I didn't know whether it had to be either, this is either all true or not. So I had prayed on it, and when I would go and open any of the messages or the book of messages for about a week, it felt like there was a bouquet of 1,000 roses in my face that I couldn't get rid of the smell every time I opened the book. So I had a direct sign many times over that Our Lady wanted me to believe these messages.
Direct confirmation. Now, I understand at this time you were happily married. Your husband was rather devout. He supported your belief in the message, and he would assist you, take you to church. And could you enlarge on
that? We had a very happy family. I had just had my fourth child named Michael, and he had a very successful job as an engineer consulting all over the world, developing oil fields.
He was a scientist of a sort?
Yes.
For a leading oil company?
Yes.
And as if you were telling me off air, they used to sit around and wait for him to come up with ideas.
Yes.
So he was very well reputed, esteemed in the profession.
Very much so.
And so just to, in brief, He was a man with a good job, a good wife, a good religion. You can say that he was a well-established, happily married man in life. But now I understand, Marilyn, that this all changed in 1992. Would you care to relate to our listeners what happened?
He took a visit to Switzerland to visit his family. His sister was a very well-practiced satanic worshiper for over 20 years and very much involved in the occult. My husband kind of blew this off, not thinking this is very serious, and went and visited her anyhow. He called me from her apartment saying that he thinks he's going to die or he's losing his mind. And
what is it now that happened when he was actually there? Did he at least have the protection of the brown scapular?
He wore the scapular for probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. He was feeling stressed at the time over there, and she said they'd give him a massage, and they had done some occult things, tarot and whatever else, I don't know. She said he had to remove his scapular and, you know, get undressed a little so they could give him a good massage and help him relax.
So this obviously was their objective, to get him to remove that brown scapular. And so what proceeded from that point then?
He called me and said, I think I'm losing my mind and I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to take you with me. And everything was terrifying to hear.
So when he got off the plane, when he finally came back home, what is it that you witnessed?
This was not the person I knew. When he got off the plane, he was very distant. The first thing he said is, I'll see you all dead.
Oh, my goodness.
Or we're going to get divorced, or I'll see you all dead or on the street. And I said, what? We just had our fourth baby, Michael, had four cesareans. My goodness.
And he never spoke this way to you.
Never.
He was always very sweetly, a man that really loved his wife. Now this must have been a shock.
Everything was a shock from then on. I didn't know what was happening. He thought the car could fly from one freeway to the next. He would open the doors. He thought he didn't know his way home. He didn't know what things on this earth were. He didn't know what a rake was. When I tried to teach him to do something at home, he thought you lifted them with your picked them up with your hands.
So he basically lost his faculties.
Completely.
And what about his morality, too?
Completely.
And you, as you were telling me before, that when he got home, he was doing some bizarre things, like he would crawl out of his bed at night, and he would get on all fours like a beast and crawl out the window and go on the roof or go to bars. Could you enlarge a little bit on some of this behavior?
He was terrified and felt there was an evil force coming over him one day, and then he started walking on all the furniture, on the beds. Went to my daughter's room, ripped all the curtains off the walls, all the bedding, got down on all fours like a wolf and started howling and stripped himself. And I took the Blessed Mother statue and was just praying for her to deliver us from any evil, put it over him. And the most horrible, horrible animal sounds like a dying, dying animal that was 10 miles deep in the earth is what you would hear the sound of.
It's almost horrible. Like he was the microphone from the Abbess.
It was so horrible.
And you said
at least 7 times that happened. And then on one time, my children were downstairs trying to stay away from it. They were just playing with the dog. Something happened that our dog went mad when one of these things, these howling, horrible sounds came. Our dog went crazy and attacked my son, who was about 3 and nearly took his head off.
Was he bleeding?
You know, deep wounds, gashes to the back of his neck, and we had to rush him to the hospital to get stitches in his neck. I was holding his head sitting on the couch, holding his head on, while my husband danced in delight, danced around in joy, and then tried to levitate.
He tried to levitate.
He sat all funny, cross-legged, with his feet up. I never saw him. He never could sit like that before. With your feet bent
and you said
up.
That when he saw this scene of your son bleeding in your arms, he said, in joy?
He was dancing in delight.
He was delighted over,
yes,
over the blood.
Yes.
During the course of all this, did he ever threaten you in any way?
He twice tried to kill me by slipping belts under the pillow when I was sleeping, and then I would wake up and he would be pulling it tight, and then he would kind of snap out of it, and then he had all these electrical cords near the bed, and he got some CB radios, bought insurance policies for the kids, always up to something.
And so, Marilyn, now you said that he was always disappearing or sneaking out at night and crawling up the walls. Could you give us a little bit more on this?
He would say he's just going to his room to lay down and watch a game or something, and then he would be crawling out the windows, down two stories of stucco on the roof, in and out. Once I saw him climbing up a flagpole.
Like a bug.
Or a monkey or something.
And he would sneak out and they would find him. One time you said the police found him on the freeway. What was he doing now?
He just didn't even know where he was, where he was going. And then the police told them he was hitchhiking to Switzerland.
Oh, my goodness. And sometimes he didn't even know his own language anymore.
He didn't know how to speak to me in English. He didn't understand me. He would often just be speaking German. He didn't understand English. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. He was out of control, didn't know who was living in this body anymore. Didn't know who this was.
Now, I understand, as you were telling me also, that upon being examined by the medical authorities, it was determined that he had no residue of drug in his system. He had not been drugged.
No, he had not. They tested him for all the drugs.
So this only confirmed the point that you were really dealing now with a spiritual monster. Now I understand at the time you had contact with a very an accredited exorcist, and you took him. Could you?
Yes, we went to see this priest, is now deceased, Father Dominic Candapa, and as he read the Saint Michael prayers, when sprinkle holy water on him, it would burn him. At that time, he was making an attempt to get better, where he would say, I wish these ghosts would leave me, or whatever this would
leave.
What
was the priest's assessment of Joseph?
He said he never saw anyone so possessed that had lost their will. He had no will. He said he doesn't even have his will.
So basically, he was like a man that had fallen asleep at the till, and he was under control now. You were no longer looking at Joseph, but you were looking at the man downstairs.
It was terrifying. He had tried, and he's sitting right beside me saying, my sister Margaret and Heinz Berger did this to me, and what did they promise? Well, they promised if I kill Marilyn and my family that I will have sex in hell forever. We have a deal with, the devil.
Right.
And I was sitting beside him shaking. I couldn't believe what was coming out of his mouth. So afterwards, I had talked to also Father John Harden from Chicago and he had sent faxes to the Diocese of L.A. to Father Coiro that something should be done immediately about this. He was familiar with what was going on for me hearing him going in dark rooms or in the bathroom saying, what now, Master? And
So what did Father Coiro have to say about this?
This was completely disregarded, even with a letter from the psychiatrist saying this couldn't hurt, which is very difficult to get.
Really?
That we had everything arranged, and this was just completely ignored. And my children, at that time, 1, 3, 5, and 12, living under this terror, and no one to help.
As you were also telling me before, that in your desperation, you then sent a letter to Veronica, a letter of SOS, seeking some help, some advice, and I understand that she replied to your letter.
She called me on Christmas, and it was very wonderful to hear from her. And she warned me and just warned me, stay away from those people, any contact with them, any phone calls, any letters, any packages, and to destroy any that come. She warned about there might be some substance or powder or something in there that's going to be dangerous. I didn't know. Now, that's back in 92. We weren't even suspicious of things like that at the time, but
talking about anthrax.
There was something going on that she said, make sure to get rid of and don't have any contact.
So it sounds like she's telling you to basically lock Switzerland out of your life. Don't let anything come in from Switzerland. And as you were saying too, it wasn't but 2 or 3 weeks later that you started receiving packages. Could you?
Packages did start to come. Letters started to come. Because there was a plan put into his mind that we were supposed to be a Halloween sacrifice for Satan, that he was to burn the house down. He bought gasoline, disconnected the smoke detectors, had CB radios or whatever so he could hear the police. It was all figured out, and the people guiding him would be trying to contact him to do this.
Well, this is what Veronica was trying to do. She was trying to tell you to lock Switzerland out of your life because he is now their agent. and they were trying to steer him around from the other side of the globe. And the way that they have that control over him is through contact. You have to have tangible contact through the telephone, through the mail. And so Veronica is telling you, lock Switzerland out of your life. He's trying to break that contact.
Yes.
Yeah. I understand also you had spoken to a very eminent exorcist, Father Malachi Martin, and he was very consoling and helpful in this situation.
It was wonderful to talk to someone who could analyze the problem, ask very specific questions about his behavior, and offered help in trying to get my husband to invoke Jesus to destroy. There was a little prayer he said, in the name of God who created you and the Son who redeemed me, I exorcise you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, just to try to get rid of this himself. And
what was Joseph's response? How did Joseph behave
toward
him?
He was actually trying a little bit at that time.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like Father Malachi was actually making some headway and pulling him through a little bit.
He even made him repeat every step that took place as he approached his sister's house. When did you start feeling confused? When did you lose your mind? He went through it, and it was making progress, but Father got sick. And he did tell me that my husband had many companion spirits that he was consulting with, and that he was actually possessed.
So he also confirmed the point that he was possessed.
Yeah.
Just for our listeners, Father Malachi Martin, by the way, was a very eminent theologian. He passed away in 1998. This is a man that was advisor to three popes. He was basically to the Vatican what Pat Buchanan was to Rome. He was a brilliant insider in the know, the author of many best-selling books, and professor at the Vatican's Pontificate Biblical Institute. And he was also a very eminent exorcist. So Marilyn was certainly in touch with the right person. And as she says, he was starting to make some headway, but now he got sick.
He even could tell by the way my husband spoke and what he said to him.
So he confirmed, too, that this was a serious case of possession.
He wouldn't tell my husband. He would say, you're obsessed and you have to try to get. But later on the phone, he said, no, it's not just obsessed. We got the P.
You can be possessed.
And his consolations were wonderful in that there were actually people who believed in the forces of evil and what they're doing in the world, and our ignorance of that. Many just try to pretend that doesn't exist. You won't find people that are Catholics who are given the duty to fight evil in the world to stand up and even acknowledge it anymore.
Well, you know, Our Lady had said in the message that you must return to the knowledge of the supernatural or you will fall. And I think that we've seen a case of this today. Joseph did question the supernatural. He did question the reality of witchcraft and things like that, and also the brown scapular. These are spiritual protections, and he discounted this, and look what happened. Just to recap briefly for our listeners. Now, here you had a man that was happily married. This is a man that loved his wife, loved his family, loved his faith. He was a highly successful researcher for a leading oil company. He had it made. And then he makes one trip to Switzerland to visit his witchy sister, takes off the brown scapular for the witch, and he virtually came home a ruined person, beyond recognition. Would you say that was an accurate assessment?
Exactly. A terrifying person who wouldn't know what deceitful thing he had up next to try to murder or destroy anything he came in contact with.
And he never acted this way before. He was very devout, very simple, very sweet natured toward you and the family.
A gentle person. Gentle,
very gentle.
Kind and
upright.
Loving, respectable. In every way.
Not a person that you would ever associate with problems, emotional problems, or spiritual problems.
Never.
But you know, the thing that opened the door, I think there's a lesson in here, Marilyn, for all of our listeners. The thing that opened the door to this whole thing, being that he was a scientist and extremely brilliant, there was a little bit of intellectual pride with regards to the brown scapular. You know, how can this piece of brown cloth have anything to do with my salvation? Well, maybe this is the good Lord's way, in the end, of teaching him and everybody a lesson as to what happens when we question the supernatural. We get a little bit proud that way, because he did take off that scapular for the satanic witch, and the rest is history.
So we should never go into the world without our armor. We can't go out without our armor. I've had many operations, and I insisted on leaving it on. They could tape up my scapular. If I'm going to die during surgery, I want my scapular on. Don't let anyone take it away from you.
Well, Marilyn, do you have any final comments for our listeners you would like to share?
Remain faithful and true to the message of the Blessed Mother. Do little acts of reparation, please, at least something so simple as going to a priest to communion and receiving Holy Communion on your tongue from the consecrated hands of a priest. Stay away from any involvement in porn, occult. It's a step, the first step, the first snatch, and then he'll take you a step lower, and you might not get away. It can be very, I wouldn't like to see anyone else go through this.
And I'm sure, Marilyn, that the good people out there will be praying for you. And certainly, if there is any real chance at this point for a remedy, a solution, it's going to come through the Great Mother of God. When all else fails, Our Lady of the Roses will always come through. And so you remain faithful and true, and she'll come through. And in the end, this could really all work, even though it may be a little hard to realize this at this point. But this may actually all work towards your husband's conversion, where he's going to come back and be that upright, simple, loving man that you used to know. She has the power to do that, because she's the one that can crush the head of Satan. And this is all a test and all a lesson for you and for the good people out there. So remain faithful to Our Lady.
Stay faithful and true, and let the Blessed Mother take care of you. Stay under her protection.
Yes, I would like to second the motion for our listeners out there. She gives good advice, and she has certainly learned the hard way through her husband's mistake in questioning the brown scapular and what can happen. And we're all with you, hoping that eventually that this situation can be resolved. And
thank you so much for letting me say this. It's sometimes something you don't ever want to talk about. You just would like to bury it because it's too ugly to talk about. But it's true. There's a lot of ugly things going on.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us today, Marilyn. And hopefully Our Lady will continue to be with you. And eventually this will be resolved.
Thank you, David.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been speaking with Marilyn Blanche of Pomona, California. And this really brings home the message of Our Lady, that there exists an unseen diabolical world that is trying to pull all of us down. And this is a world that we cannot test ourselves up against. As it says in Holy Scripture, he who loves danger will perish in it. And we have certainly seen a good example of this today, though hopefully this perishing is only temporary. We pray that Our Lady will come through for him. Now, Marilyn mentioned the renowned exorcist that she had contact with, Father Malachi Martin. I think it's good to point out here that Father Malachi, in 1998, he openly went on record as being a believer in the Bayside apparitions. Semi-openly, I should say. This was in a Manhattan restaurant, September 1998. He told a Mario Aguero, quote, "I believe that Bayside is a true apparition." He said, "I did not used to believe that Bayside was legitimate, but certain circumstances have now led me to believe that, in fact, it is a true apparition." The story of Father's death in 98 is interesting. He suffered from a mysterious fall, which caused injury, and while he was in the hospital, he actually claimed that he had been pushed by the devil. And this injury eventually led to his death. Now, such a story might sound a little bit bizarre, but coming from him, a renowned exorcist, a man with so many credits behind his name, you can bet it was true. No doubt he was getting ready to go public on his acknowledgement of the Bayside apparition. If you'd like to receive more information on this, we invite you to write to us. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. There is no cost to receive the information, but again, we do remind you that your donations are necessary to keep this program on the air, so we do urge you to continue your support of Our Lady's Apostolate. Again, that mailing address, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or visit us at www.smwa.org. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join with us next week as we continue with this urgent message of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces and abundance.